If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, other than bonds. So, you know, buckle up because Sean and I are going to help give you some ideas. And hopefully with these ideas, you'll be able to get your feet wet and, you know, be on your way to investing.
Yeah. And also, not only I'll be teaching the Mystery 50 people that have helped us to get to this point and create this program, they'll be teaching in some of the classes as well. And this is supposed to be, once again, as we always try to do, an interactive and fun class session. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And let's get it started. So let's go to the next slide, Trey. Thank you. So the overall program, as we know, is called CLEAN, and we're learning more focusing on what I would like to call the investment part of it, and we usually talk about that and learning to live without, and I think we talk about it, learning to live without, we talk about different types of investments. So let's go to the next slide. Okay, course goals. Over the course of four classes, our goal is to give you a strong understanding of the following. What does it mean to invest? What are the benefits and risks of investing versus savings? This is something important that we talked about even in the previous courses. You know, my old grandmother analogy, my grandmother was probably the best saver I ever met in my life, but she was a horrible investor, okay? And a lot of us get down to understanding, thinking investing and savings are synonymous, but they're two different things. You should be saving to invest, you know? And what investment looks like for you is what we're going to get into. But if you just continue to save your whole life, you won't gather much, and you'll more or less live a lifestyle, which is, you know, a choice once again, where you're more, you know, having to work, continuing to work, versus if you start to invest in yourself, invest in different types of investment vehicles. It could give you that opportunity, that freedom that a lot of people want in life, and that ability to do your own thing versus always having to work for somebody, work under somebody. What are the different types of investments and how do I compare them? So we're going to look into the different types of investments that are out there and what you can look for. And, you know, investing is very personal. You know, me personally, I like investing in real estate just because I think it's just a more tangible investment. I believe I have a lot more flexibility, and there's a lot of ways I can do to make sure I get a return on my investment when it comes to real estate. But there's some people that like to do crypto. Some people like to invest in the market. Some people like to invest in businesses, and it's a choice. So that's one thing I want you guys to understand. But getting back to investing versus savings, I really want you to understand the importance of investing. Which investments make the most sense for me and my objectives? And this is, once again, very specific. And I think it's specific by your age, by your risk tolerance. Like, as much as I teach financial literacy, I'm not a person that likes to, like, for example, day trade or buy crypto. Anything that fluctuates a lot, that's not really me. I'd rather, like, I'm a big fan of slow and steady growth. But there are people that like that instant return right away every day and like to flip and this and that. And that's not really my style. I'm more of a consistent growth type of investor. So it's understanding my objectives. And, you know, my theory is I always like to sleep well at night, but some people, you know, have no problem being on the edge and can do very well with it. It's not, this program is not for us to tell you what to invest and where to invest, just to give you a perspective on what investing is. What are some of the successful investors that we can emulate? We're going to go through some of them. What am I entitled to when I make an investment, right? Talking about your returns, talking about realistic returns, and talking about managing the downside. A lot of people, when they invest, they only used to worry about how much money they can make. They never really focus on how much money they can lose and what's their exposure and what does that do to them. If they were to take a big loss, how does that make them, where does that put them in a financial position? I've met so many people that have these great investment ideas and wind up losing a lot of things and never plan for the loss. All right. How do I analyze the performance of my investment over time? We're going to look at ways in which you can measure the success and failure of your investment. And how do I open an investment account? Basically, how do you open up an account so that you can begin investing yourself? All right, let's go to the next slide, please. Investment overview. And am I going too fast? Is everybody with me? You know, I like participation. So
let me you're not going too fast.
Am I making sense? Any questions so far?
No questions right now.
Okay, thank you so much. Anybody else? Everybody else is good?
The only question I have, Sean, is how can I make $1 million?
Well, stay tuned for the next 4 weeks and we'll try to figure that out, Nigel.
No worries. I know that you'll get to it.
Allocating, you know, that's what everybody talks about. How can I make $1 million? And I really focusing on management of money, management of resources, slow, steady growth. I've never tried to hit the lottery because I know the odds against hitting the lottery. I always believe in, you know, if I'll use a baseball analogy. You know, you can have a higher batting average if you try to hit singles versus trying to hit home runs all the time. If you hit home runs, you're going to strike out a lot. You're going to pop out a lot. You're hardly going to make it to base. But if you try to hit singles, you'll get to base, maybe your first base, maybe you'll make it to second base, maybe make the third base, maybe you'll get home. But you'll have more steady, consistent returns to fast track getting that $1 million. To try to be a one-hit home run and just hit it off the bat is a much harder task than to just get little hits along the way to build towards that. You know, even with my personal experience of Mr. 850, you know, in my 30s, I was constantly buying real estate. And, you know, I didn't really see the benefits of it and how much money I was really making. The equity that I had, I earned until I got into my 40s. I was just like building. And then all of a sudden I realized like, whoa, I got a good set of properties. I'm doing certain well with them. And I really saw, okay, I'm doing it now. But I wasn't focused on looking for a property that's going to make me $1 million. I was just more focused on the opportunity. And I think everybody that looks to invest is more focused on the opportunity and not trying to hit it out the park. And I think that's a lot of problem within our community. A lot of people focus on this instant huge return and not realize like it's a journey. It's a journey. And success in general is just an ugly thing. It's hard, it's sweat, it's blood, it's tears, it's sacrifice. You know, anybody that's tell you that's made it will tell you, you know, Mr. 850, his story, he owns a 16 unit building, 3-hour drive from here upstate. And I remember when he first bought it, all the stresses with it, all the tenants with it, but now we smoothed it out. You know, I have a similar story. Anybody that has achieved success in some form or fashion will tell you it's ugly. But when you get there, you're like, I'm here, and it's, and you know, it can, it's gratifying, but to the journey is an ugly journey.
Hey, Sean, I want to jump in real quick and just add, Nigel, many of us see $1 million and we say, oh, we want $1 million. But unfortunately, if you were to ask everyone an open-end question, if I had $1 million, I would, most people would, not maybe in this class, but most people in general would start spending it. But the trick would be, I don't really care if I have $1 million. I care if I have the passive income that $1 million would generate at about 10%. You see, so you give me the passive income that $1 million could generate, then I'm it's like me being a millionaire anyway, because money is supposed to work for you. and you don't spend the principal. You let the principal, which is $1 million, go to work for you. So you have a job, you have a pension, you have a 401k. If you were not to go into any of these things with advisor, but just manage your money well, where you got the basics, you would end up with passive income that is valued at $1 million income. So we're going to clear that up a little more. I know a lot of the people here may not be familiar with everything I'm saying, but that's why you're here, to understand how not to spend the principal, which is $1 million, but to invest that and let it go to work for you. It's like a goose. $1 million is like a goose, and the goose lays golden eggs all the time. So go ahead, Sean.
So let's talk about what is investing. Investing, and I just want you to, like, and anything I always tell people, to understand something, to succeed in something, or you to try to understand the basics and try to simplify it as best as you can and not overthink things. So that's what we're trying to do with this investment course as well. So what is investing? It's really just having money with a goal of generating income or a profit. Very simple. You put a dollar in, you want to make more than a dollar. And even when I look at investing, you know, I always weigh the factor of time. If I have a dollar and it's going to take me 2 years to get change that dollar to $1.50, I may think twice about that investment. So you always want to have like measurement of time, like how long is it going to take me to get a return, and what kind of return am I looking at where it's worth putting that money into that investment? And, you know, and I come to say it again and again throughout this program, that you guys have to really focus on the exit strategy. A lot of people come to you, friends and family, different investment things will say, hey, I need you to invest in this. I need you to invest in that. I want to do this. I want to buy this. I want to do that. But you always need to ask yourself, okay, what is the exit plan? Meaning, how do I get my money? How do I take my profit out? Because some people, believe it or not, that ask you to invest, they don't even know what the exit plan is. They'll tell you, hey, give me $10,000 invested in cocoa beans, and they don't even know how to turn that cocoa bean back into a profit or how to get that money back to you. And then you'll find yourself in a position where, man, I invested $10,000 in Nigel, and he keeps telling me every week, I'm going to get my money. And Nigel keeps telling me, well, just wait a minute. I'm waiting for Trey to sell this product. And once Trey sells a product, I'll get the money to you, and you can get the money. That will be a conversation. You need to, when you're looking to invest, you need to ask them, you need to find out, what is the exit strategy? How do I get my return in real dollars, in real time, not just somebody selling you the idea of how well it's perform and not understanding how you will get your money back and how you'll profit. You can invest in many different endeavors, starting with real estate, stocks, bonds, crypto, investing in businesses. There's so many things you can invest, but it gets back to what I just said earlier, where it comes to what kind of profit. You know, like, I'll give an example, like, okay, the restaurant business. I call the restaurant business, especially in New York, a very sexy business. You know, it's sexy. Like, I want a restaurant. I have a restaurant. We serve, people come in, people shake your hand, people smack you on the back and say, oh my God, this restaurant is great. It's such a gratifying feeling to like own a restaurant, and people loving your food, people loving the vibe that you brought, people just look like you look like, but a lot of restaurants fail and they don't generate any money, because restaurants are the type of business where you're getting constantly punched in the gut. When you think you got everything right, another bill comes. When you think you got anything right, something else fails. You're short on food. The city fines you for this, this expense, this tax. Like, a lot of people that I know that own restaurants, you know where they get got? They get got on sales tax. Because how sales tax works, the government, the city collects quarterly. And when you go to a restaurant, you see the taxes. The owner of the restaurant role is to put that tax money aside and pay it every quarter. But the restaurant is such a cash business. Some restaurant owners really can't afford to put that money on the side. They need it to continue to buy food, pay staff, do all these different things. So by the time the IRS comes knocking at their door and says, where's the money that you've collected for us in taxes? And they don't have it, the restaurant gets shut down. Because the restaurant business is like, you know, napkins, aprons, food, staff, liquor license, this license, taxes. It's a lot of different expenses that add up. And so I'm not telling anybody not to open a restaurant, because if you do well with a restaurant, you can do exceptionally well. I know a lot of people that have done really well with a restaurant. But what I'm just trying to explain to you in this and giving you that example is that You have to ask yourself when you're looking to invest, where do I see the profit? Get away of how the business looks, how sexy it looks, how filling it, you know, what is going to make this business profitable, right? Okay, there are two ways of earning money. Earn an income by either working for yourself or someone else and investing your assets so they can increase in value over time. Tell me what that means. Let's get some participation. Tell me those two ways, what it means. Can anybody help me out? Don't let me call on names because I'll just look at the first name I see. Manuel.
What was the question, Sean? Just as a...
Sorry, why should I invest? And there are two ways of earning money. Just explain to me what those two ways are in layman's turn. Earn an income by either working for yourself or someone else and possess your assets or money so they increase in value over time.
Copy.
Break those two down. Can anybody help me?
Manuel, you with us? Where you at?
The question is, why should we invest?
Yeah, why should we invest? And explain the two ways of investing.
So we can make more money.
So you can make more money.
But what about just putting your money in the bank?
I don't know.
Can't you make money just putting it in the bank and letting it sit there?
If you invest in, you're investing in a certain type of thing like you really want to invest in, so you know that you're going to make more money out of that, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And should you be careful and understanding? So when you're thinking about investing, what should you be thinking of when you're ready to invest?
I don't know.
Now think about like if you were to put money out or loan money to somebody. Well, let me not say loan. If you were to put money out and you were expecting to get some back, what are some characteristics of an investment that you would want? Like stability wise, would you want it to be volatile or sporadic, jumping up and down often, or, you know, things like that? I don't want to say too much and give the answers, but does anybody have anything that they want to
add? Lots of action in the chat. Manuel answered in the chat. Daquan.
Daquan said the risk that comes with it. In regards to what, Daquan? Let's see. The risk that comes with it. Let's see.
You could invest in a place that you think is going to make you the most. Okay, so how do we decide, Manuel, which places are going to make us the most? That's a very it's a good response, but how do we decide? That's $1 million question.
Mm-hmm.
How do we decide what's going to make us the most money? How do we know?
Mm-hmm.
Daquan, I agree with you. You never want to invest more money you can't afford losing. Okay. As simple as that sounds, most people don't adhere to that rule because they get caught up on a home run hitting somebody. They realize that they lose everything they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sleep, knowing a lot of what you're doing. So you just have to understand the basics. You can earn money by working for yourself or someone else. Okay, that's going to give you a return. You put in 40 hours a week at working at for somebody, you're going to get a check in return, right? So you're investing in your time and you're expecting to get a reward. Or you can work for yourself where the money's not guaranteed. Like I work for myself. I don't have a set pay. You know, I'm hoping every day I walk into my store and I'm hoping that I turn a profit. Some days I do, some days I don't. I'm hoping every month that my tenants pay their rent on time. So this is working for myself. And this is understanding that I don't have a bi-weekly paycheck. But there's some people that work, you know, working for somebody else is not a bad thing either. Because, you know, your money is guaranteed. It gives you a certain quality of life. You can sleep well at night. You know that this is what I'm going to make. And you may even get a bonus if you do extra work or something like that. But I also think you can go beyond work for somebody and really hone in. I think I talked about with Trey, what your skill set is, what you bring to the table, and maybe you'll be able to leverage that into something else outside your current work as well. I'm always a fan of creating multiple sources of income for yourself, especially as you get older, you're going to learn more and more skills. But then that money that you're piling up, you need to do something with it. You know, and here's how it works against you. Let's say, for example, you've been able to save $100,000 in the bank, but you're renting. And I know a lot of guys when I worked on Wall Street, where you're renting this beautiful apartment in Manhattan that's costing you $5,000 a month. But you've gotten to the point where you can really put down on a property. So the money that you would pay in rent, you're not getting anything in return other than an apartment that you live in, which could be a quality of life issue. But say, for example, you took that same $100,000 that you have saved and you purchase a property with it. Now you're earning, you purchase what we like to call an asset that it can have favorable returns on it in the long term, meaning that if you paid X amount of money for it today, it'll be worth more down the road. So the money that you're paying towards your mortgage versus rent becomes from just going out the window every month to actually working for you. And every payment you make on time adds to your credit score.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is where you want to get that mindset of switching, you know, from gathering assets. And this is like the example I was talking about in my 30s. I didn't realize in my 30s I was gathering assets. And then finally when I got into my 40s, those assets began to work for me in favorable ways. All right?
Yeah. So Sean, let me just add also, you know, when you guys look at assets and things of that nature, just remember asset puts money in your pocket. A liability takes money out of your pocket. So if you were to get some sort of windfall or bonus or inheritance and you said, you know what, I'm going to go out and buy this nice new car. A lot of people do. So the moment you drive off the lot, it's worth less. Now, the only way you could turn that into an asset if you rent the car out or you made it an Uber, then you're bringing money in. So many people, matter of fact, probably the majority of people, they buy a lot of liabilities. They buy things that go down in value. So that's the way they live. Buy TVs, they buy jewelry, they buy clothing. You know, they're just buying a lot of stuff, which makes someone else wealthy. So the trick is to understand what you want to do with your money. And the easiest assets we're going to be discussing are stocks, because anyone can open up a simple account and start buying it with fractional. You can buy fractional stocks. So that would be the simplest start to begin with to see a difference. And this is what this class is really going to be sharing with you as you go forward. Go ahead, Sean.
Exactly. Let's go to the next slide, Trey, please. All right. When is the right time to invest? The right time to invest is dependent on both your personal goals, objectives, and as well as your current financial situation. So key on the word right time to invest. So when people ask, should I invest? Yes, you should. But you should figure out, you know, when is the right time for you to invest? When do you need to invest? And I think it starts from now. Even if it's just a dollar a day, a dollar a week, whatever, it's just to get into the mindset of investing. To me, there is no bad time to invest. Do I have enough savings? You know, a good thing about this country that we live in, you can invest a dollar in the market today. You know, you can buy a fraction of a share. You can invest in, you know, picking up something from the dollar store as an investment and then trying to sell it. There's always an opportunity where you can invest and test. And the numbers just get bigger. That's why I always tell people, okay, you know, because I invest, if Jeff invests a dollar and I invest $100,000, the mindset is the same thing. The practice is getting comfortable, is understanding your risk, is assessing the investment, asking the right questions. Just because the investment amount increases doesn't mean the practice doesn't increase. That's why, like, I've met people that are multimillionaires and they still have the same, they do the same due diligence when they're thinking about investing, regardless of how much it is. Because it becomes embedded in you. You don't even think about the number. You're just embedded in you and how you look and observe and decide whether and what to invest in. How much am I putting into my retirement account? How long can I invest my money for? Do I have debt that I need to pay off? How does my return on investment compare to interest rates on my outstanding debt? And this is the game that you have to understand and know, because I see a lot of people with, you know, money in their savings account, but only making minimum payments on a 25% credit card interest rate, which to me, doesn't make a total amount of sense. I mean, I think you should have a reserve in case you need cash, but I don't think you should be saving and paying high interest on credit cards. You should be looking to bring down your debt, because carrying debt is an expense. It's a cost. Carrying debt is not for free. It takes away from your paycheck or your money every week. And if you're taking away more than what you're saving, it defeats the purpose. And then it comes back to, you know, understanding that if I buy something on my credit card and I can't pay it off in full, there's a cost to that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You know, if I go out to eat in a restaurant, we all hung out and we went out to have tacos a few days ago, and I put it on my credit card. Now, if I wasn't able to pay that off in full on my next billing cycle, those tacos would have been much more expensive what they already were. And I'd be upset at Trey and Nigel because I'm still paying for that taco meal and the margaritas. So, you, and Jeff, you too. So you have to really take all that in consideration and know that.
That's okay, Sean. I would have chipped in maybe like a dollar.
Thank you. And those are the little conscious decisions. I know so many young people and friends that would hang out with their friends, go out to clubs and bars and buy all these things, and then can't afford to pay it off and are stuck with these heavy credit card debts. So I say it as a joke, but there's a seriousness behind it. How long can I invest my money for? Do I have debt I need to pay off? Well, someone needs to set up my account for me if I'm under 18. Yes. Any questions so far? Everybody's good. Thumbs up if you guys are taking it in, if it's making sense. How's everybody feeling?
You can unmute yourself, put a thumbs up in the chat. Oh, you got two thumbs up so far, Sean. There's one hand raised. Let's see, was that an accident or does somebody, let's see, who has their hand up? Okay, it looks like that was an accident. But yeah, mostly all thumbs up.
Okay, wonderful. All right, let's go to the next slide. Okay, this is once again to drive home investing versus savings, okay? Over time, investing can create more wealth than purely saving. However, it comes with more risk. When you invest, you're exposed a little, but that's where you gotta manage your level of exposure. Meaning you can have like, you know, think of investing as a bucket, right? In that bucket, you can have one type of investment. Let's call it the big marble, where it's like very risky, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to invest in Nigel's skateboarding business, okay? I believe in him. I've seen his work ethic. He presented me with a great business plan, how he thinks that skateboarding is going to be the next big, it's coming a strong comeback because it's part of the Olympics now. Everybody he knows, he's been selling skateboards online. He's doing really well. Now he wants to open up something brick and mortar. And he has an exclusive contract with this new skateboard brand out of Japan. And he already has orders, $1 million worth of orders coming in, and he needs me to help fund the investment. I'm like, okay, this is riskier, but it could definitely generate a high return because Nigel has the rights to this skateboard brand based out of Japan. Everybody already wants the brand. The brand already has over 1 million followers on Instagram. They're looking for somebody to sell in the US. I'm like, okay, Nigel, it seems like this could be a great investment, but I'm still in my head imagining the downside. A new business is always very risky. B, I've never worked with Nigel before. And you're only, and let me just tell you this, this is another thing to really know and honing. Your business is only successful as the person leading it, okay? You could have, somebody could have come up with, had the same idea as Elon Musk, same exact idea. And I think that's why he's an open book. But could they have executed and made it successful? Maybe not. I don't know if I could execute Elon Musk's electric car Tesla plan 20 years ago. I don't have the resource. I didn't have the connections, the bandwidth to do that. So if you gave me your money and I said, I'm going to come up with the first electric car, well, I hate to break it to you, probably would have lost your money. You probably would have lost it because my bandwidth is not as deep as Elon Musk to really get a car to from beginning to end and get it down production and make it on a high level volume. Maybe, you know, we could have got an electric toy car, maybe, but all the different hurdles and stuff that it needed to happen. So once I said, a lot of people come to you with big ideas, but do they have the resources to make it successful? No matter how great you think the idea is, it's only as good as the people behind it. So back to Nigel's skateboarding idea, if he's scaling it right, I think, okay, there may be, but there's a level of risk. So if Nigel said, give me all your retirement money, I have the contract with this Japanese brand. Look, Sean, here it is. Here it is. Let's just do it. Once I get your money and I buy the boards, that's it. I'm bringing them to the States and I'm selling them. Sounds great, but there's still a level of exposure. Maybe another brand comes out that's better than Nigel's brand. Maybe they give the rights to somebody else that nobody knows that. Maybe he's priced it too high. Maybe nobody wants to buy skateboards at Nigel's price. Maybe Nigel doesn't really have the know-how, the project manager to really manage the orders, right? So these are things you have to take into consideration and understand who you're investing in. Now, maybe Trey comes up with the same idea and I look at Trey, I'm like, Trey is always serious. Trey has it more together. He's understanding. He's trying to do it at a smaller level, bring in a few, sell a few. I'll be like, all right, I'm not trying to hit the home run with Nigel, but maybe I'll try to go to first base with Trey. Maybe I'll give Nigel $25 and I may give Trey $50 because I believe in him more than I believe in Nigel. No offense, Nigel.
None taken at all. We're one team at GSS.
So that's the thought process. So when it comes to investing, you're looking at what is a risk, what is exposure. Just like stocks, same thing. When you're purchasing stocks, you're looking at, okay, what's the longevity of this company? How well are they doing? Even though, like you say, Tesla is doing really well now. Should I buy Tesla stock? Yeah, maybe you should, but maybe Tesla is starting to flatten out because everybody has Teslas right now. So maybe you missed the curve and yeah, it may have growth, but it may not hit that big growth that you're looking for because, you know, the secret is out. So it gets back to, you know, planning your goals. When you're looking to invest heavily, make sure you have the savings there. Make sure your expenses are minimized. Make sure you understand, like, you can do multiple types of investment to level out your risk. So if you believe in Nigel, you can go all in. I'm not here to tell you what to invest in, but just to manage the risk. So if you have $100, maybe I'm going to give Nigel $25 and see how he does with that and put some timelines behind it. Okay, Nigel, I'm going to give you $25. Let's see how you do within the next 60 days, 90 days. And if you are what you are and you do well, maybe then 90 days I'll double down and I'll invest a little bit more. But I'm going to manage you and I'm going to manage to see how well you perform. And give you the dangle the carrot. If you do well with me in the next 90 days, then you'll get a little bit more. If you don't, then I understand. I put the $25 up and that was a loss.
Sean, I want to jump in real quick and just do a time check.
Yeah, I think we got like 14 minutes.
Okay. So,
yes.
All right.
Okay, so, hard stop at 5:15, right?
Yeah. And then we can stop.
Okay.
Let's go to the next slide. Okay, so back to risk. Okay, so this chart is very helpful. So if you're looking for short term, 1 to 3 years, that may seem a long time ago, but short term investment depends, it's like usually 1 to 3 years. determine what your goals are, okay? Liquidity, ease of accessing money could be very high. You know what, Jeff? I'll let you explain this chart. You understand? You get it?
Sure. So okay, go. when you're doing the short term, let's say you buy Coca-Cola and you wanna use Coca-Cola, and you know that, you know, in certain countries, people just love Coca-Cola. So you know that Coca-Cola is expanding in certain places and their stock is about to blow up. You can hold Coca-Cola for 1 to 3 years. Your stock could go up 30%, 40%, and then determine, hey, you know what? That's enough money for me to do a different goal. Or you could say, you know what? This is going to be a good stock to hand over to my kids when I'm gone. So you hold it beyond 10 years because Coca-Cola's been around since the turn of the century. And that stock constantly splits, meaning if they have a stock that's worth $10, they could split it in half. Now you have double the amount of stock. So that's a whole nother conversation, but that's one of the reasons why people hold long-term. Another reason why they hold long-term versus short is because the area in which the company is in, they have a big footprint. They dominate that area. Now, if you think about a company that dominates an area, and you think about computers, there's two companies that dominate the computer area, and they're on the tip of everybody's tongue. So one of them came out with a phone. The other one has went into cloud space, but they still dominate the computer industry. So any small company that wants to get in, they may offer more stocks at a more comfortable entry level, but they're more risky because they don't dominate the whole area. So that's one of the things you want to watch out for when you invest, whether you're doing short term, which could be something that's coming up quickly and you want to get in and get out, medium, which will give you 3 to 10 years, offer some liquidity, offer ways for you to have stability as well, or something that you want to make it and hold on to it so you can maybe pass that on to your kids or have it for when you retire and you don't want to have to work anymore. I hope that explains that, Sean, and in a simple way. So each one has its own use. Anything below 1 year, anything less than 12 months, it's really taxed at a different level. It's not considered, tax-wise, that's considered really, really short. So that's something that only, I would say, advanced investors should be trying to do.
That sounds like it would be like just a huge gamble, anything a year less.
Absolutely. And people, that's the point of the whole thing. Anything here, short term, when you're trying to flip money in a short term, it's a riskier proposition. And when you think more, like most people that smart investors focus on long term growth versus short term growth. And so they'll ride out the curve, like they'll watch the market fluctuate and they're not concerned. And I think as young people, you should be thinking long term versus short term. I mean, you can have a little bit of a mix where you have things that are short term returns, but not thinking that investing short term is going to give you the type of return that you're thinking you can get. You know, getting double digit returns, meaning more than a 10% return on your money. So that means for every $100 you make, $10 is a great return. You want to focus on like exceeding double digits, but it's a hard thing to consistently do. That's one thing that the young people are misled by. They're looking for these high returns, but the market doesn't allow that. And even if you do it on one investment, it's going to be hard to continue and do it continuously. It eventually is going to correct itself and you go back to single digit returns, meaning less than 10%.
Yeah. And Sean, I know we had a question. Oh, I think Keyshawn wanted to say something when Mr. 850 was going through the slide. Keyshawn, do you want to unmute yourself and say something now?
Yeah. I like to say, like, you know, you heard of Netflix, right? You know, like how they're like their stocks are like going down and people stop subscribing to them because, you know, like they charge so much money just to go watch movies, and like the movies and like TV shows that you want to watch are not even there. And like that's what Netflix keep they keep making this mistake of deleting them, which they should keep them there instead of like deleting. And I get why that their stocks are going down and they're not getting as much people as they want because they might be defunct like probably in the next 2 years. Because I think that they were like a long term, and Netflix has been around like since 1997, I think.
Yeah, like, I'll tell you a little thing about my opinion on Netflix. This is what you have to understand in business. When Netflix came out, I remember when Netflix first came out, I was dating a girl and they would just mail you a video, a DVD. And you know, and I was like, this is crazy. Why don't you just go to Blockbuster? For all you don't know, Blockbuster was a place you could just go and you can rent movies. Like you wait for the video to come in the mail. I thought it was the craziest and thing to just wait. I'm not waiting. I'm going right to Blockbuster. But they were early adopters. They were seeing the things that I wasn't even seeing. And they were first in. And it was only Netflix in that game. They probably got a lot of funding behind them and it drove their price up. But when anything, this is what you have to understand as young people, you may have the greatest idea and invention, but eventually competition is going to enter the market. And once consumers have options, they'll exercise them. So what happened with Netflix? The big boys got in on this whole streaming. Who are the big boys? Amazon started off selling books.
Prime, yeah.
They started selling books. But if you think of what Amazon has over Netflix, everybody on this call probably has an Amazon account. So they have huge access to a market. And they can, like what they call, and this is how they can beat up competition like Netflix, they can offer you package deals. Meaning, hey, get Amazon Prime. We give you streaming for free. Netflix can't compete with them. So you as a consumer say, why do I need to pay $19.99 a month for Netflix when I'm an Amazon Prime and I'll get to stream movies for free? That's what competition does. And so Netflix has subscription base has dropped because of people like Amazon Prime, people like Paramount, all these other streaming services has been able to leverage its customer base. Huh?
Don't forget about Peacock. Like
Peacock. So they've been leveraging their customer base and saying, hey, we can throw this in streaming for free. And Netflix is not in a position to throw it in for free because that's their only revenue stream, a subscription. They don't have, Amazon really sells stuff, but now they're offering streaming for free once you have Amazon Prime. And like even now, like figuring, there's so many, when I was growing up, we just had like 20 channels, basically. Now there's so many different, you know, and let's get into Apple TV as well. I used to couldn't wait for a good series. There are so many series and so many different things. I can't keep up. I got to ask my nephews and nieces, what's streaming right now that's entertaining? Because there's so many different avenues you can go. So what's happened with Netflix, competition came in. And once competition came in, it makes it hard. They're going to lose some of their base because, you know, people are watching Apple TV versus, and then you got to remember too, what can happen too, like putting exclusive showing premiere is very competitive. And if you're a famous actor like Nigel or Trey is, I'll use them as an example, and Apple comes to them and be like, hey, we'll give you $10 million to give us an exclusive right to show your show versus, and Netflix loses that deal, that sways people over. Yes. You know, so it's behind the scenes. And, you know, to me, Netflix is not getting the big time actors coming on there doing exclusives. It's now going to the Amazon Prime. It's going to the Apple shows, you know. So that's what has basically happened to Netflix is competition, in my opinion. And that's one thing you have to look at when it comes to business. Let's go to the next slide. I want to talk about some successful investors, just to give you a perspective. You should all know, hopefully everybody's heard of Warren Buffett. He's worth about $80 billion. And he's investing strategy. He chooses specific companies to invest in that are trading at a lower price relative to their fundamentals. So he's thinking like, oh, there's an opportunity with this company. People are not recognizing how well this company performed. And I'm going to invest in them because I believe that they're doing the right things. They're just not recognized. Then there's somebody like Nas. He's won a Grammy for the best rap album, Born in Brooklyn. And he invests in Dropbox, Casper, Lyft, Coinbase, Robinhood. So he's investing in different companies that he's probably heard of, active users, and expects an overall rate of return. Then there's Elon Musk that I mentioned before. You know, for those of you who don't even know, Elon Musk didn't invent Tesla. He did an aggressive takeover over Tesla, meaning that he kept buying the shares so he became owner. So a lot of these just, you don't, and that's another thing we don't, a lot of young people don't understand. You don't have to create something to become successful. And you don't have to be the first in to become successful. And that's Elon Musk. You think Tesla is Elon Musk, but he didn't invent Tesla. He just saw a young set of people that were doing this great thing, and he aggressively took over the company. And that's what he's done in a lot of ways, aggressively take over companies. So there's many ways that you can make money. Look at Damon John. He invented FUBU, which I wasn't a big fan of FUBU clothing. But he branded himself as this great entrepreneur within the market and got himself a gig on Shark Tank. And I don't even argumentatively, I would call Damian John a great entrepreneur, but he positioned himself well to build up his brand where he looks like he's this great entrepreneur because he invented a brand over 30 years ago that I don't think anybody in this call has a piece of FUBU garment in their closet, but he's still living off that brand from 30 years ago and looking like Mr. Successful. That's one thing I love about America. You can brand yourself, and his level of confidence in the way he delivers and where he is and he positioned himself, he looks like he's a king girl, and argumentatively, I don't know. So these are ways in which he invested in himself. Now he's invested in different people, and Warren Buffett looks for opportunities, and Elon Musk is an aggressive takeover. So, but they've all achieved success. Am I making sense?
Elon Musk just bought Twitter.
He just bought Twitter. And how did he do it? Trade aggressively, right? Exactly. He bought enough shares where he's the majority holder, and the executives of Twitter are scared out of their pants.
Yeah. I believe he owns, what is it, like
9%? 9% gives him first position.
Yeah.
And as much as you hear about Elon's success stories, he also has a lot of failures. And that's one thing you have to understand about successful people. They're not scared to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that Elon Musk probably has more failures than successes. But the successes outweigh the failures, meaning that if he lost $20 in a bad investment, he'll make it up by making $100 off another investment. So don't be scared of, and I don't even call it failure in my eyes. I call it learning lessons, you know?
Yeah, Eli, Sean, yes. You're right about that. You know what, Sean? All these people have one thing. Well, they have several things in common, but the major thread that each one of these people have is that they do what they love. They're able to do what they love. So if you're working somewhere and you're making someone else rich, if you monetize the way you work, the way you save, and you become in a position to make yourself financially free with enough money, now you can create the ideas without fear, because failure doesn't cause you to starve. Failure just brings you to the idea that what you did doesn't work, and off to the next idea.
Exactly.
Like when you have this level of money, life is just like a toy store. I want to try this. I want to try this, and I'll try this. And even though Musk was a big risk taker, where he did almost go bankrupt several times, it's not the same type of bankrupt. It's not like he's losing all his money. He's losing his company's money.
Exactly. When you look at Damon John from FUBU, was FUBU really a success? Maybe in this time, but overall, no. But he's been able to leverage off that and just make himself a brand. Let's go to the next slide. I have like 3 minutes left.
Yeah, and just adding to that last thought really quickly, it's kind of like he showed people the value of, I guess, like investing with him by the results that he's shown, like within like a short amount of time when he first started FUBU, I think. Yeah, so just like that quick ramp up, I think, honestly, just allowed people to trust him a lot more.
And you imagine the his pitch game to Shark Tank to get on that show. That's confidence. Yes. He had to be like, if he would have said to me, Sean, I'm going to try to get on this Prime show, and I'm going to talk about my brand from 30 years ago, FUBU, I'd be like, you are crazy. Yeah. But confidence goes a long way. Trey's laughing because we had looked at like, with FUBU, they're going to put you on as an doctor to talk about that. You mean, you know, FUBU from the 90s? You're going to get on? Yeah, I'm going to get on. And his confidence level was high, to the point now we look at him like, wow, you got on with FUBU. Because really, that's all he's done. And from that, he's made books, he has TV's appearances, he's made so many multiple sources of evidence because he was able to knock out an interview and be confident enough to say that I believe that FUBU can get me this gig.
Yes, agreed.
Let's go to the next slide. We're going to skip over this slide because we're trying to talk a lot about this because I want to get into what we're going to be talking about next week. Okay, so we're going to be creating this game. It's a stock game, Available Investments. And we use it, we go through, I think it's E-Trade we use, where we set up accounts for you guys. You guys got to set up your own account. You got to sign in. And you're going to choose from these assortments of stocks and electronic traded funds.
Hey, Sean, tell them how much money they get.
You get $100,000. Everybody gets $100,000. And, you know, based on everything we're going to talk, you're going to assess the level of risk, level of exposure, and you're going to pick your stocks and how many shares you want to buy of each to sum up to $100,000. And we're going to look at it over the next 3 to 4 weeks and see how well you perform. And I'll be honest with you, just because I know a little about investing, Jeff knows a little about investing, doesn't mean we're going to beat you. So it'll be very interesting, and it ranks everybody, and we'll see who does well and why you chose this versus why you chose that and what the overall return is on your investment. So I am gifting you all $100,000. So
nice, Sean. Thank you.
No problem. So the next class, we're going to go through setting up. I'm going to have one of the volunteers. They're going to talk more about it. They'll teach you how to open up your account. We'll open it up in the second class. In the third and fourth class, we'll monitor and we'll see how well you guys perform over the next 2 weeks. And I'll give you some little hints on how to win. Little tiny hints that you can take in and decide for yourself how you want to play this game. But I'm competitive as hell, so I'm going to try to beat every single person in this chat. Okay, I'm going to try to kick all your butts. I'm going to try to outperform everybody. So you guys better do your homework because I'll let you know when I kick your butt. You're going to know. I'm going to rub it in because I am competitive. So don't think I'm playing this. I'm playing this to win. And I hope you guys are as well. All right. So with that being said, does anybody have any questions? What they thought? I'm looking forward to gearing this up next week. Anybody?
And as a reminder, Sean said that it is a game. It is fake money that you will be lent to play with. So please don't ask myself, Trey, or any of the other internship coordinators, when will we be receiving our money from Sean on our Wisely card? Because it will not show up there. I repeat, it will not show up there.
Sean will be printing the money on the weekend. So come next week, we'll have it stacked up in the room. If you want to come by the coordinator's office, you can pick up your $100,000.
Use it wisely because we're not lending it. I'm greedy. I'm not lending you one penny of my $100,000. So make sure you guys invest it right do right. I don't. Yeah,
we get to play too, right? We get to play too, right, Sean?
Absolutely.
I want in too.
This is for tacos.
All right.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Anybody have any questions before we close?
Any questions before we head out?
Mm-hmm. All right. I think just for interns, just in general, overall in regards to a follow up assignment, definitely keep an eye on your email. And you'll see a message from your internship coordinator in regards to any follow up assignments, and then also the video from today's session.
You're gonna send me the audio too, right?
Yes. Nigel? Yes. Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right. There are no other questions.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good one. See you guys next week.
Thank you, everyone, for stopping in. I hope you learned a lot.
Definitely. I continue to. All right, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.